If you have your Bible, turn tonight to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible said, "Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." I talked to several folks in the last few weeks, and over the last, it seems like month or month and a half, but they've been a lot of folks that's going through different things, and they've been in a hospital and sicknesses, and it seems like, all the time you're constantly going and trying to help and give a word of encouragement here and a little there. And people have asked me several times, why do we go through all these things? Why is it that good people, bad things happen to good people? Amen? And we wonder that, and it's a good question. But I want to say the adversity that we go through, praise God, we do it because it's a tool God uses. I'd like to preach that just for a little bit tonight, if God would help me, on adversity, the tool God uses. Amen? We go through a lot of things, and we don't understand why, but God says that it's for a purpose tonight, that it'll help us in the long run. See, God ain't interested so much in the here and now, but He's here and He's interested in how we finish the course. Amen? He's interested in here and now, but His main purpose is that we finish well. And we finish giving Him all the glory and all the praise for all that He's already done and what He's going to do, because He's going to help us to finish well. Amen? We might give Him all the praise. So we see the sufferings that we go through, the trials and the anguish of this world, the adversity that we face in this world is for a purpose. It's not for naught. And amen, when we go through it, we come out stronger for it. Amen. I've never went through nothing with it that God didn't deliver me through, that I didn't come out just a little bit stronger for Him. Every time I've went through the adversities, the trials and the things I faced in this world for His glory. But we see here Peter's a talking to us here, and he's speaking to the church. He's speaking to the Jews, and he's talking to those that's scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia and all these other places. And even though they're scattered, praise God, he said, you don't have to worry about the scattering. You're in the suffering and you're in the scattering. But praise God, take assurance that even in all this, there's salvation. Amen. Because there's a Savior that cares for you. There's a Savior that's there to help us, praise God, in everything that we face. When we realize that God's always there, that He's in everything that we do, it's everything that we say. In that newsflash, He's in everything that we think. That's kind of scary. Amen? Because He knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He knows what we're thinking. And He knows what we're doing today. And praise God, but He said that even during the suffering, during this adversity, and the suffering and the scattering that they was going through, and we kind of mentioned that this morning, that scattering. The world liked to scatter us. But praise God, God's there to call us back together. And it's for His glory. So even as we go through the adversities, the adversity in our life, it's a tool that God uses. Now, I was thinking about this word adversity. According to Noah Webster's dictionary, it was based on the Bible. He said it's an event, a series of events which oppose success or desire, misfortune and distress, the state of unhappiness. Amen. He said that's what adversity is. It's something that's thrown out there, praise God, to try to distract you, to try to bring discouragement. Amen. But I'm glad, praise God, and it's something, praise God, that we can use for God's glory. It's difficulties that we face. He says misfortunes that we come with. Some people might say, well, it's bad luck. If that's the case, then I've had a whole lot of bad luck in my life. But I want to say it ain't bad luck, praise God. It's just the God of glory allowing us to go through these things so that He can bless us on the other side. So that you can come out with a shout, praise God, realizing who it is that brought you through, praise God, and you come out all right. I've had people that I've talked to, people that lived, they've been sick and they've died. They've went out of here. But if they're a child of God, amen, they come out on the other side shouting the glory. Amen. They come out shouting the praise of God because they've been delivered. Because we serve a delivering God. He's a God that's there to help us, amen, and deliver us safe on yonder shore. So Peter's a telling him here, praise God, that adversity is a tool that God uses, amen, that he uses to draw you closer to Himself and help us to realize just how good He is. I want to say now, we serve a good God. We serve a loving God, a caring God, a compassionate God that loves us and cares for us, and He's always got our best interest at heart. Now, I said a lot of times I prayed, and I know God always hears my prayers, but He hasn't always answered my prayers the way I'd like for Him to. And I'm saying, glory to God, I'm glad He didn't. Because there's some things that I prayed for, I thought I needed, that I really didn't need, that would have brought harm to me in the long run. That would have affected my life in a total different direction. But guess what? God knew that. That's why it's good we can call upon Him, believe Him, praise God, and He'll take us and test us, and He'll show us, praise God, where we need to be. Amen. He gives us an exam to see where we're at and where we need to be for Him. And He helps us to finish well. But He says here in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 6, He says, He's talking about their suffering. He talks about their scattering, but He gives them assurance of their salvation, an inheritance, praise God, that can't be done away with. He said, blessed be to God, verse 3, He said, blessed be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Said He's begotten us again. So He take us away from a... If a lively hope is a living hope, then we must have had a dead hope. But praise God, I'm glad He brings us out of a dead hope and He puts us in a living hope. Amen. Amen. He scatters us about. I did it again, didn't I? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Amen. And we should eat. I can tell when I do that because you'd look at me funny. Say, where's that preacher gone now? But He says here that it's a lively hope, and He said it's by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because Jesus got up, He resurrected. I mean, I will say He's not dead no more. Amen. Amen. He's alive and He's well, praise God. And He's sitting at the right hand of the Father at the throne of grace for me and you. He said, to an inheritance incorrupt and undefiled, and it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's quite a bit of assurance for me. Amen. Because that's the Word of God. He said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. But He said, on the road to that, praise God, as you're accepting that and receiving that and rejoicing in that. Verse 6, He says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. You are in heaviness through manifold temptations. He said, these temptations, this adversity, the trials come along and they test our faith. Sometimes it'll even get us to question whether we're even saved. Hello? Sometimes the trials and the temptation, the things that we have to go, we'll question, well, Lord, am I even saved? If I was saved, I shouldn't have to go through this. Why not? Amen. We're here living in an old sin-cursed world, a world full of sin, and all this affliction and all the disease and all the chaos, it's all around us. How do we expect not to get a little on us? Amen. We get a little bit on it. Praise God. I'm glad that adversity, praise God, is a tool that God uses to realize, praise the Lord, that He can clean us up. I'm glad I serve a Savior tonight that can clean me up. Amen. You say, well, preacher, do you go around looking to get dirty? No, I try to stay clean. Amen. But the Bible says we're supposed to strive for perfection. I ain't got that down pat yet. Now, there's some of you here tonight probably a whole lot holier than me. And you probably got it down pat. You probably don't ever mess up. You probably don't get no contamination in this world on you. But if you ever get out of your house and out of your little bubble, you're going to get dirty. And you're going to need somebody to scrub you up. Amen. I'm glad I've got a promise in God that the adversity of this world, praise God, is a tool that God uses to clean me up. It's that lye soap and that scrub brush that God uses. Amen. To get down in the cracks and the crevices. Amen. Just to see how, exactly what we need and clean us up like we need it. Amen. They used to use that old lye soap and a scrub brush out there on an old washboard, scrubbing them clothes out. Amen. It amazes me that my grandmother and them used that, and they done stuff like that, had the old wringer washing machines. My mother, hey, I remember when I was a little bitty feller, my mother got her first wringer washer. Brother David, they set it out on the porch. You couldn't take it in the house. You set it out on the porch, you run a water hose to it, you run a cord through the house and plug into the wall, and that thing, well, you fill up with water, you put the soap in it, it washed the clothes. And then you'd take it and you'd run it, turn that old bit button on, turn the wringer on, you'd run them clothes through that wringer and they'd come out the back. Then you'd pull a plug and that thing would dump that old nasty water out, had a drain on, you'd go down over the hill. He said, "Preacher, you tell how old you are now." I'm just telling you, that's the way it was. But you know what? They got more done, praise God, than anybody do today, praise the Lord, because they've trusted in the Lord. They look for God's guidance. They get God to help them, Lord, praise the Lord, and they got things done. Now we don't have time to go to the house of God. We don't have time to worship the Lord because we got so much to do. Amen? Do you hear me? We got so much to do. We don't have time for God. We wonder why we're caught up in all this adversity. Because God's trying to shake us real good to get our attention. Amen. And we better take time for that that's necessary. Take time for what that that's real. Amen. Because the days are flying by. Hey, I woke up the other day, praise God, and in the 2000 or 2017 just almost half gone. We're in June. Amen. Time's flying by, and you have to look back and say, "What have I done for Jesus thus far?" Oh, me. But they had lots of time. Why? Because they put their faith, they seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and God blessed everything that they did. Now we got ringer, we got automatic washers, automatic dryers. Hey, my wife found some things the other day, praise God. Some little old balls, you throw them in the dryer, praise God. It sucks the moisture out of clothes, so the dryer just takes half the time. Amen. I mean, we're blessed. Your children get up in the morning, glory to God, and you take their breakfast, throw it in the super nuker, amen, jump back and radiate it for a minute, set it on the table. Say, "Dive in." Everything just click, click, click. But we don't have time for God, and we wonder why adversity comes. Because it's a tool God uses to try to get our attention. To try to get us to realize, praise God, He said, "I am God, and no matter what man makes, praise God, it ain't going to supersede what I can do." Yeah. We've tried it here. You can't outdo God. Yeah. You can't outgive God. You can't outlove God. Amen. It's impossible. But praise God, I'm glad we can try. Amen. Amen. And God just blesses us on purpose, praise God. He removes those adversities, praise God, and He gives us the help we need. He said, the trying of your faith, praise God, being much more precious than that of gold. Amen. That perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Adversity comes, praise God, but I'm glad that there's a Savior. When we put our faith in Him, see what happens is if we ain't careful, we reject God. Hello? Now listen to me just a minute. Let me explain that to you. We reject God by not putting Him first. Israel was doing good. They were clicking right along. God had brought them into the land. He'd give them what they needed, supplying their need that was destroying the enemy before them. And they rose up, told Samuel, said, "We want a king." Amen? Said, "We've looked over here and we want to be like all these other nations that have kings." Said, "We would like to have somebody to rule over us. Some tyrant to take a half of what you make and to take your best stuff and to take your women and your sons for servants." Yeah, Samuel tried to explain it to them. They wouldn't listen. He said, "What you've done," he said, "you've rejected God." Let me read that to you. 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 19. He said, "Ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your troubles, and ye have said unto him, Nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourself for the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands." He says, okay, he said, "You've wanted God." He said, "What you've done?" He said, "You've rejected God and said he wasn't sufficient, and you want an earthly man to reign over you, to help you to do that you need to do." Amen? And he said, you don't need a king. You've got a God. Amen. We don't need a man. We've got a heavenly Father. We've got a Savior, praise God, that's there for us. But they was prosperous. The amazing thing about that, they went into the land needing nothing. They was wanting for nothing. They had the Lord had done laid it out, the time of the season. They had done planted their crops. The crops was coming in, and they went in and he destroyed the enemy, and there was all the food they needed. And when he cut the manna off, there's the food. Praise God, he would prosper them in the land. But I want to say something tonight. Prosperity helps us very little. Prosperity hardly ever teaches us anything. Amen? Prosperity never, ever hardly teaches you anything. You know what prosperity teaches you? It teaches you to be more greedy. It teaches you to be more greedy, to want more and more. As God blesses, amen? As he prospers, you say, "Well, preacher, I don't know about all that." Look at America. I mean, he's prosperous over the last 200 years. He's made us a superpower, one of the greatest nations in the world. And we don't even appreciate what we have. We've got these lunatics out there that says, "We want to change America. You're prosperous. We're prosperous. God's a blessing. God's a helping. God's delivering. God's keeping people away from us. We're not having the kind of things that's happened the last 2 weeks in Europe and over there. Praise God. The terrorists in our own back door, and people are saying, "Well, I want to change all that." Where's the logic in that? God is prospering us, but we don't appreciate it. See, nothing's changed. It's still the same. The more we don't learn from prosperity. We learn very little from prosperity, unless you're a child of God, and you say, "Glory to God, God give me that." Yeah. Amen? And we look at it and we say, "Glory to God, God give me that too." Amen. Let me show you. God give me this too. Amen. Everything I have, it belongs to God. I give God all the glory. Amen. God give me a family. Praise God for my family. God has prospered me. I give God the praise for the prosperity. But we learn very little from prosperity. But I want to say, praise God, adversity has a way of teaching us some things. Amen. Adversity has a way of showing us, amen, that God is blessing us in so many ways, praise God. And when he takes us from one trial and tribulation, from one temptation to another, praise God, and he delivers us, we begin to grow and say, "Thank you, Lord, for the help that you give us through the adversity." Amen. Through that adversity that we have to go through in this world. Amen. We learn through adversity. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3, the Bible says, "The finding pot is for silver and a furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the heart." Amen. He said that these silver goes through a process, gold goes through a process, but he said God looks at the heart. I want to ask you, how's your heart? Got any heart issues? Amen. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10, he says this. He said, if thou faint in the day of adversity, now watch this, thy strength is small. He says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, he said, then you ain't got much strength. He said, in other words, what he's saying here, he said, you're putting all your faith, your confidence in something else. He said, if you fail, you come short, amen, you shrink away, you fall away, you faint, amen, when adversity comes, those difficulties that we face, he said, then your strength is small. Amen. Let me tell you where you get big strength. You get big strength from the Lord. Amen. Me and Mia sing Jesus Loves Me. And we sing it in the car. And we sing Jesus Loves Me. It said, I am weak and He is strong. Well, we sing it in there and I told her we were singing when we got down there. She said, I am weak. I said, but He is strong. Well, she got to singing it. And she got to singing it loud. And she got to screaming out, strong, that God is strong. Well, they're going down the road. And Mia was singing, Jesus Loved Me. And Samantha's like, hey, man, glory, you know, just really getting in there. And all of a sudden, Mia goes screaming, but He is strong. And she thought she was having a fit. Amen. But I want to say tonight that we are weak. Amen. But He's strong. We're small, but He's big. And when adversity comes, praise God, we may not have the strength to overcome, but He already has. Amen. Boy, the devil don't like us. Hey, oh, he don't like us at all. But I'm glad to say we're serving a holy God tonight. And when we're weak, He's strong strength. Our strength may fail. Our strength is small. But praise God, if our trust and faith is in the Lord, then we are strong. Amen. Bless His holy name. But we see the trials and temptations that they come. Now, trials and temptations, they're heart issues. Amen. They're all heart issues. It's dealing with the heart. We see in the Bible all the way to the end, and Jesus tells us in the book of Revelation that even during a time of tribulation, you know, that awful tribulation that's coming at the end, He said during the time of awful tribulation, He said there's still going to be those that will not have a change of heart. Hard-hearted, if you will. Amen. Where the adversity doesn't change their thinking, doesn't change their heart, doesn't change their attitude. Revelation chapter 9. If you want to go there, if not, I'll read it to you. Revelation chapter 9. Well, let's go verse 19. Well, let's go 18. I can read the whole thing, but we'll for sake of time. He says, but these three was the third part of men killed. By these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone. That sounds like pretty adverse stuff to me, don't you? That'd be pretty adverse. Which issue out of their mouths, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And like adversary to adversity to me. But listen to verse 20. And said the rest of the men which were not killed, because a third of the population done been destroyed by these creatures in the tribulation. He said, but the rest of men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murderers nor their sorceries. There's that word again. That were witchcraft, sorceries, pharmaceuticals, drug addiction, amen, heroin use, alcoholism. They didn't repent of it. And they said, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. He said they didn't change their attitude. Amen. The trials, the temptation, adversity come, but they didn't use it to grow closer to the Lord. Praise God, they begin to condemn God and godliness and serve the idols and the things of this world. Amen. Praise God, they get caught up in a drunken stupor that he tells about over in Revelation chapter 21. Amen. And they miss heaven altogether. See, adversity teaches us, praise God, that we don't want to miss heaven because hell is an awful place. But thank God there's a place called heaven, a place that's prepared for those that's prepared for that place. So with these two things happening here, when we realize adversity, number one, adversity tests the motives of our hearts. Amen? Did you get that? Adversity tests the motives of the heart. It tests why we do what we do when we do it. It tests our hearts to see why we do the things we do. And we should be doing it to give God the glory, that God could get praise out of our lives. Amen. Why? Because it pays a big dividend in the end. It's kind of like laying up those treasures in heaven, where they're guarded and kept by God that Peter tells us about here. Amen. And we go through these adversity, the trials, the temptations, and we come out, praise God, shining for Jesus. Amen. It dictates the motives of our heart, why we did what we did. Amen. So that we can finish well. I don't know about you, I want to finish well. I want someday that my family, my children, my little granddaughter, I want them to look at Papa and look at Daddy and say, praise God, he stayed the course. He finished well. Amen. I want to finish well for Jesus. I want to finish praising His name, giving Him the glory. Because I am what I am, like old Paul, by the grace of God. Amen. I'm nothing without Him. I'm just no vile sinner. Praise God. Brother Robert, I'm from below the barrel. But Jesus came to me and told me that He loved me, praise God, dug me out and cleaned me up. Praise God. So we see it's a test of the motive of the heart. But it's also, number two, it's to train the manners of our lives. Adversity trains us in how we should live. Adversity shows us that we can't do the things, that we're no match for the devil, we're no match for the world, we're no match for the sinfulness that's all around us. It'll overcome us. It'll consume us away. But praise God, I'm glad that there's a God, amen, that loves us, praise God, and He can help us be a good soldier at the cross and stay the fight, amen, that we might battle on for the cause of Christ to the end of the way. I thank God for them old saints of God. And you know, you go sit by their bedside and they're getting ready to go on out of here. They fought a good fight and they finished their course. That's what God wanted them to do. And they're going out of here, praise God, and they're going out of there and they got a smile on their face and a hand in there. Amen. They're praising God. I'll never forget they was telling about Ralph Sexton Sr. when he was a dying, when he was going out of here and he had praising the Lord. And he said, lift me up. And they packing pillows behind him. He said, higher, higher. And they was packing pillows behind him. Finally, somebody come over and got his daughter said, listen, said, he's not talking to you. Amen. Said, glory be to God. He's going out of here. He's finished. He's fought a good fight. He's finished his course. He's going home. Amen. Adversity, you say, well, pulled him down, praise God. No, adversity lifted him out of here. Amen. As he began to just praise the Lord through the adversity. See, it details the manners of our lives. I was thinking, Brother Tim details cars. And I was thinking about how, you know, you detail a car and you go in there and you clean that thing up from top to bottom. You clean it up, you look for any dirt and grime or any thing that shouldn't be there, and you get rid of it. See, that's what adversity does, praise God. It shows us all the things that's bad, praise God, and helps us to seek the things that's good. And the Lord just begins to bless us, praise God, and give us those things that encourage us in our life. Amen? And it gives us that comfort from the comforter, that consoler that we need. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm reading this right, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says this. He said, grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of what? all comfort. Amen. When adversity's real, Brother David, he's realer. Amen. He said, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. That's where we come alongside and encourage somebody else. Amen. The Lord shows us, He brings us through adversity and helps us to live, praise God, and encourage someone else who may be going through something also. Praise the Lord. He said, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. See, there's only one comforter. Amen. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we have also suffered. For whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Amen. He said, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Now listen what's taking place here. God's saying that adversity comes, but He says, praise God, when we think we've lost. I thought about this. I think about this consolation. When we think that we have lost, when we think we haven't been done good enough, amen, that we haven't dealt with adversity in the right ways, He said, because God Almighty loves us and He cares for us, it's kind of like you remember that, Let's Make a Deal? I forget the fellow's name. And they'd go out there and they'd try to win. And they said, well, you didn't get it. But said, Monty, can you tell them what the consolation prize is? I mean, they'd done the best they could, but they didn't win. But he said, amen, glory be to God, because you put forth the effort, there's a consolation prize. Amen. Amen. It's something, glory be to God, that's glorious and out of this world. Praise God. You didn't think you deserved, but praise God, there it is. God says, I give you a consolation, a strong consolation, a strong comfort, praise God. Because what God has done, that consolation prize that we get, praise the Lord, that we give God the glory, say, I didn't even think I deserved that. I didn't do too well with my adversity. But praise God, God blessed me anyway. Praise God, He brought me out. But James said, praise God, this stuff will come to us. In James chapter 1, he said, in verse 2, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, those different temptations, those different trials. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That means being complete. And he says, if any of you lack wisdom, in other words, he said, if you can't understand this, if you can't grasp and get a hold of it, he said, just ask God to help you. Amen? He said, just ask God. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Amen. He said, if you need help with that, if you need help with getting through the adversity, if you need help with getting through the trials and the temptations, pray God. He said, just ask Jesus. Ask Him to help you. See, adversity, it's a tool that God uses to work us closer to Him, to help us to realize, praise God, that He is all that we need. He's our comfort. He's our consolation. He's all in all. He's everything that me and you'll ever need to give Him glory and praise all the days of our lives. Amen. So listen, next time adversity comes, and it will come, amen, probably before you get home tonight, you're like me, something will come up. Amen. You get up in the morning, something will come up. The devil will throw things in your path. It'll come up. But praise God, just grin real big and say, praise God, ain't God good? And say, Lord, I know you got this. Amen. And guess what? He does. God knows exactly where you're at, knows exactly what you need. And we just have to put our faith and our trust in Him. Adversity, it's everywhere. Amen.